So listen, I have this message I've been trying to preach for like 4 weeks. And so here we are. And we changed the sermon series up since I started this to Meet Me in the Middle, which actually is a really good title for what I'm about to speak on. And so today I'm going to pastor you guys. Can I just be a pastor today? Is that good? And everybody thinks when I say that, like, oh, brace yourself, he's going to get on to us. No, I'm not doing that. I just want to lead you in some things that that are going to be very, very helpful to your spiritual life. And today I'm going to be talking about God's design for community. So we often hear language like, you know, when we talk about community in the church, we talk about small groups or life groups or those kind of things. And and while I can say that some of these things are very beneficial and productive, and a lot of times they are, as I was saying earlier in the series, that a lot of times they're just programs, though. And they're just programs that we go through and we plug people in. And we say, here, we want you to be in this group. And how many has ever been, just felt like you were just pressured into a group of people, whether it's church or work or somewhere, you're just like pressured into this little group of people. And then when you got inside the four walls, you felt like you were just going through like a mechanical machine. And it wasn't life-giving. It was just, you was like, okay, I'm glad this is only going to last 10 weeks. And then I get out. I get free. Or there are times that we've been put in these life groups or we put in the small group, and actually something great comes out of it. And so I've seen both of those things happen. And I do believe that being in a small group setting is a God plan. I'm a big church guy. I love going to church. I love coming to the house of the Lord. But you've heard me say over and over again that church in and of itself can't save you, right? So I have to be real careful when I'm saying that, because some people think I'm saying, hey, you know, don't worry about coming to church. And that's not really at all what I'm saying. I'm saying if you only come to church without relationship with God, you're just going to church.
Yeah, good.
Can I say that again? If we're just going to church without a relationship with God, we're just going to church. And honestly, you might could have a lot more fun on the river. You know what I'm saying? So, and I want to be careful in saying that, because I don't want to say, well, that's what I'm doing, so I'm just going to go to the river next week. I'm just saying that we have to have this relationship. And so whatever we're doing, whether it's church or small groups, or there has to be this one component that I want to talk to you about today, and that is that everything that God puts in our life and everything that we do is led by the Spirit. Anybody here this morning?
Yeah.
All right. So we're living in a spirit world, and so as men and women of God and Christians, we should be led by the Spirit, and we should have Jesus at the center of everything that we're doing. Now, when I say the center of everything we're doing, I don't mean the center of everything we're doing except for a vacation. I mean the center of everything that we're doing. He is in the middle of our life. And we learn to celebrate. Even I celebrated this morning with one of the young ladies here at the church, because I saw on Facebook is where she had spent time this past week with her family, and her family's been a little broke up, and God put it doing some work there. And I celebrate that, but God is in the middle of that. That's not just going out and hanging out and you're glad and everybody's hanging out together. No, God's putting together what was broken.
Right.
And he is in the business of doing that. And so everything in our life is centered around the presence and the purpose and the kingdom of God. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
And so that is how our life should be. And so I want you to understand that and we get in these idea of small groups and how we do life, and you know, the thing is, they are highly effective in some ways. But I want you to think about this just for a minute. If we're in a community of believers and we live our lives, prayer and fasting and all of those things, and so we come to church and we have small groups and we give ourselves to those things, but what would happen if in our church or in our small groups that the presence of God would leave? You know, a lot of times when that happens, when there's not this connection, we feel like we've been abandoned, or we're not fitting in, or something's lost in our life, and because of so much of what we're doing is putting on our little Christianity, and we come together and we put on our little mask and we put our little thing on and we do a little life together, but there's no realness in it. There's no authenticity in it. And so it kind of goes by the wayside. But here's the deal. On the other hand, so many times we've seen where when the Holy Spirit leaves, it still works. You know why it works? It's because we've created a system to put people in, and it's just a mechanical thing. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is when he puts us together, is for us to affect one another. He's called us to be in these small group settings is because, you know what? You need people in your life. You need people to touch your life. And so God puts people in your life. You know, I've been blessed many times by God financially, but it usually was somebody writing me a check. Matter of fact, I've never had God randomly put a check or put money in my mailbox. I'm not saying he can't. I'll be glad if he does. I'm just simply saying most of the time, people have been the source that God uses, not the resource, and he's the source, but God uses people to bless me. God uses people to help me. And so he calls us to be in these groups of people because he knows that every single one of us need help in our life. You see, there's nobody in this room today that don't need help in their life. Yeah, all of us has got a little junk in our trunk. And all of us got a little something that we need to work on. And here's what happens so oftentimes in Christianity. We just learn to put on the cloak of church, and we do church, and then we have this other kind of life that we do. Come on, somebody. I'm going to help us today. And so when God puts people in your life, it's for purpose. And so God's put some people. Matt, come up here. Michelle, come up. God puts people, come up here and help me. You, yes, you. Dana, yes, I know her name. Dana. God puts people in our life. And when God puts people in our life, sometimes, come on, y'all get together, huddle. Sometimes it gets real uncomfortable. The closer you get to somebody, the more they see your stuff. You know? The closer you get to people and the more you hang out with them and get real with them, the more they aggravate you. And the reason they usually aggravate you is not as much about their aggravation as about what you're aggravated with you. You see, God puts people in our life and he gets us up close and personal. Now, this guy right here, I've wanted to kill him before. True story. There have been times that I've had to ask God, God, would I really burn in hell if I murder him? I mean, just asking, Lord. True story. But he's one of my closest brothers in this house. And because we're close brothers, we understand, we know each other. But sometimes it feels kind of like this. That's uncomfortable. I just want you to know that. That's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable to get close to people. It's very uncomfortable when God puts people in your life. Let me tell you something. God puts people in your life because this is what he's doing. God's putting these people in your life because they're sandpaper in your life to take off the rough edges. And so when you don't have an authenticity in your small group settings and your community settings and you're not drawn to one another by the Spirit of the Lord, what you do is you just put on a cloak. Yeah. And you go, hey, oh, I love you. I love you too. Oh, you're so sweet. I love you. You're precious. I love you. And like, don't get up in my stuff. Don't get up in my Kool-Aid. Don't mess with my things. Don't speak into my life. But see, the Lord knew something very powerful. He knew that we needed people in our life. And so even from the beginning, God created Adam, and he said, Adam, you're not really good by yourself. I'm going to give you a wife. In the New Testament, he sent the disciples out. He didn't send them out by themselves, however how anointed they were. He sent them out with someone because they needed accountability. And so God creates spiritual community in our life to help us to become what he created us for. Come, anybody here this morning? You know, oftentimes, I said this a few weeks ago, oftentimes people will be upset, like, hey, man, you know, I was in the hospital and nobody come to see me. Well, first of all, nobody knows you. Because you show up at church and you walk out the door, you have no community, you have no relationships, and you're just checking in, checking out. But when you need people, you need community. Yeah. Anybody here today? Yeah. Okay, I told you I was going to pastor today. And you need community, but you don't just need people. You need community. Yeah. Now, I'm going to show you the difference. I got lots of people. I think on my Facebook, I have 3,000-something friends. No, I don't. I got a few friends. I know a lot of people. But the people don't know nothing about me. And when our lives become highlight reels of Facebook and Instagram and really just mask. Come on, anybody here today? So God's putting community together because he knows that, you know what? As bad as I hate to say it, I really need Matt in my life. I really need him. I really need his aggravation because, you know what? He's taught me some things. It's been a long process. But he's taught me some things. And y'all are laughing, but this is true. He's taught me to be patient. True story. He's taught me to be patient. He's taught me that being patient and being faithful to a friend matters. Now, for Father's Day, he got me this swag bag. I thought that was a cool name y'all said for the women. Well, I go, what's a swag bag? I got my own swag bag, so check it out. He got me this for Father's Day. But this is not, it's not about the bag he got me. The bag doesn't matter. It's about the relationship. The bag's just a bag, but the relationship's more valuable than gold. Are y'all with me today? I'm nailing this down. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want you to get this today. Because the moment we become isolated is when the enemy sets us up for failure. The day you don't need anybody is the day you're in trouble. Because God has created us for community. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all are awesome. So in this whole deal, when the Spirit of God is not in our community, people feel like, you know what, I don't belong, or I've been dropped off, or things don't matter. And so we go into these, you know, kind of false pretenses of things that are really not real. We get offended. I didn't make this point while everybody was up here, but just imagine them still being up here. Because when people in our community offend us, it's probably because we needed to be changed. Yeah. You know what we like to do when we get offended? We like to go find another community that agree with us. Let me go find some more people that are just as got the same junk I have, then we'll just all have the same junk together. But sometimes when we're being offended, it's really God working in our lives. Right. Is that good? Yeah. And so if somebody's offending you, you ought to get closer to them. Amen. Man, this person's really offending me. I need to find out what's wrong with me. Amen. Right. Call it. Yeah, that's a good word. Anyway. So, but when you have a mass community, they're masked with things. You know, it works. I've seen some huge churches be built, and I'm not, so put your thinking caps up. I'm not speaking of any one thing. I'm just talking in general. I've seen big churches built where they have these programs of community. But the people in the community is not being transformed into the purpose of God. So it's not much different than joining a fraternity or going to an AA meeting or something like that. That community is built around a program, and I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying it's not sustainable. Because there's going to be times in your life where your community and things going on in your life will seem to be away from you. And if you don't have a real relationship with God, your life is going to fall apart. Can I get a better amen? But when you're in a community that's driven by the presence of God, it leads you into something greater than just being together. It leads you to the heart of the Father. And that transformation where people are up in your business is when God is using people to help you to understand who He created you to be. And in that transformational stage, you're learning how to be a son and a daughter. Such a powerful thing. You know, in family, we learn how to be family. We don't give up on our family when times are bad. Matter of fact, we embrace our family when times are bad. But oftentimes in community, when times are bad, we kind of circle around the good parts and leave the bad alone. But God has created us to walk together and to have His heart and to have His purpose. Now, I'm going to read this to you. This is a statement that we worked on. My daughter helped me with it. And I want to read this to you. Here's the problem. The church organization can still function and thrive like a business without the leading of the Holy Spirit by using charismatic leaders and strategic programs. They give the illusion that people are connected with Christ and meeting the goal of the church. But in reality, this is nothing more than what you can find at one of these fraternity or rotary meetings. Based on your relationship with God, on these programs or people can be more. Basing your relationship with God on these programs and people can be more dangerous than not going to church at all, because they give you a great illusion. But it is not sustainable. And when it is all stripped away, what do you have? Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He was sitting with a group of disciples when he said this. What was he talking about? Upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon Jesus Christ and Him alone, I will build my church. I'm not going to build my church on you boys just because y'all been hanging out with me for 3 years. I'm going to build my church on this thing, Jesus Christ being the center of it all. Here's the problem. If the presence of God stopped showing up, you would think that chaos would break out and erupt, but not necessarily. For so often, community of the church is built on something other than the leading of the Holy Spirit. John 6 says this. The only way people come to me is by the Father who sent me. He pulls on their hearts to embrace me. And those who are drawn to me, I will certainly raise them up in the last day. He said, the only way you're going to come to the heart of the Father is for the Spirit of the Lord and for the heart of God to reach out and draw you into His presence. We build community because God puts us together. He anoints us to be together. He puts us in purpose together. And when we walk through things and we go through life, that anointing that carries us, it's leading us and guiding us by the purpose of God. We don't have this pursuit of His presence on the wall because it looks cute. We believe that everything's centered around the pursuit of the presence of God. And that's how we're drawn together. Let me take you to this next passage of Scripture in Ephesians. He says this in Ephesians. I don't know if I'm going to read all of it, but even when we are dead and doomed in our many sins, like all of us, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He united us into the body of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. So here's the deal. Christ in us is what makes us brothers and sisters and family. Not just coming together. It's the Spirit of truth that brings us together. But like anything in the church, there is a science. And there are ways to build churches with tools that integrate people and membership of the church. And much like a club or organization, guess what? It works if your goal is to have a big congregation. By the way, God is into big congregations. I just want to say that today. God is into big churches. The first mega church was not Hillsong. The first mega church was Acts 2. It was long before Hillsong. There was Acts 2. And they were in one room in one accord, and they were praying, and the Spirit of the Lord came in. The holy anointing of the Lord came blowing into the house, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happened? And then right after that happened, this 120, by the way, a lot of people think of the early church as just a group of people having a little kumbaya and having dinner on the ground, but that wasn't it. They were not just this little group of disciples. There was an anointing resting upon them. And when that Spirit of God blew in the house and the Holy Ghost fell on them, the next thing that happened is 3,000 people were added to the church. Come on. What added the 3,000 people to the church? It wasn't a great outreach program. It wasn't because we did this little thing or that little thing. It was because there was a united people that were hungry for the Spirit of God. And they were centered around the presence of God. And when they were centered around the presence of God and the anointing was there, people were being saved. Now, we're doing an outreach on the 14th, but we're going to be in the park. But if all we do is give out hot dogs, we missed it. But if we saturate the park with the presence of God, people's life can be forever transformed and changed. And so right after that story, there's this lame man at the gate. He'd been there for a long time. He was healed. You know the story. And after he was healed, guess what happened? Miracles took place, and then 5,000 was added to the church. Why? Because the presence of God showed up and the supernatural took place. Everything that we do are to be centered around the presence of God and not a program. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying not have a plan. I'm saying in the middle of the plan, have the anointing. In the middle of the plan, have the purpose of the kingdom of God. In the middle of the plan, make sure that Jesus is at the center of it all. And Jesus took his disciples. He took three disciples he took his 12 disciples and he spent 3 years with them. You know what he did with his disciples? This is what he did. This is what he did. He said, come walk with me. I'm going to show you things. Discipleship is God's model. That's how he planned it. So he walked with them. You know what they did? They slept together. They ate together. They prayed together. They hung out together. They went through storms together. They dealt with life together. A lot of them, our idea of disciple is, here, you sit here while I preach at you. Look here. This is the way of the Lord. Walk therein. See ya. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is walking with people and having them in your life. You know what discipleship means? Discipleship means that you're going to have to clean your house and cook a meal, invite people to your house. Yeah. The gift of hospitality will have to come upon you. And then you have to open your house and your home and your heart. It means you're going to have to walk with people through their struggles and their life. And you're going to have to go through them with all the deals that they deal with. And when you get close in community, when their family hurts, you hurt. Jesus was feeling the pain when Lazarus died just like they were. Now, he knew he had the answer, but he still hated to see the people that he loved hurting because he was in community with them. And when we walk in community with the presence of God, the center of it all, then we just walk the distance. We disciple people. And I believe that God's calling us as a house to a greater level of discipleship. Not just to bring somebody to church, not just to invite somebody to church, but to disciple, to walk with them. And here's the deal. Everybody in this room is called, if you're saved, you're called to be a disciple. Right. Now look, I know that there are personalities in this room that are not like mine. My wife is probably, without a strong unction of the Holy Spirit, is not going to walk up to some random person in a store and talk to them. She does occasionally, but it's not her MO. And me, I'm looking for somebody to talk to because I'm already just like, who can I? Hey, my name's Marvin. What's your name? How's it going? What's up? You know, there are no strangers in the world. No strangers. None. So I'm excited about that. But here's the deal. She does not, because her personality is different, does not give her an excuse not to evangelize. Because in her world, she's built relationships with the people at the hospital that she works with. And she's letting her light so shine before them. And when they're and she's speaking into their life because she's called to evangelize. Every single one of us is called to bring people into our life to disciple. Now, I'm going to hit you where it hurts right here. So many times our life is so introspective that we can only see our little problems. Let me tell you something. I'm going to help you today. Say, pastor's pastoring today. I'm going to help you. When you get like that, here's what happens. You get into a little self-pity place, and you see all the wrong that's in my life and all the injustice have been done to me, and you throw a pity party. Well, guess who shows up at your party? The devil. Nobody else is coming. The devil shows up at your pity party, and he laughs at your calamity. He laughs at your calamity. And while you're looking inside yourself and saying, look, woe is me, my life is bad, nobody loves me. You know, you're doing the little flower thing. Do they love me? Do they not? I'm driven by the emotions of others, how they act around me. No, my purpose is the kingdom. My heart is the kingdom of God. And I love people when they're unlovable. And so now, look, you know what? I saw a beautiful baby here today. Can I borrow your baby for a minute? I'll give him back, I promise. He is so cute. I may steal him, I'll be honest. I've never had a baby boy. Oh, look at that. Look, I'm going to handle this baby with tenderness. You know what? And we was telling stories the other night about babies. I don't remember which baby it was. I think it was Hannah that pooped all over me while I was taking pictures. I didn't throw her on the ground and say, oh, you nasty baby, you just pooped all over me. I gently handed her to her mother and went and changed my shirt. Amen. When we are carrying and discipling people, it's like caring for babies. And all of a sudden, our mercy gift begins to grow. You know what happens when your mercy gift begins to grow? Not only do you give mercy, but you get mercy. Yes. There's something powerful about handling tender vegetation. You get your eyes off of all your little problems. You see, my problem was that I had a poo-poo all over my shirt. But I didn't throw the baby down. I heard a young man say the other day, he doesn't change poopy diapers. I said, well, shame on you. Because you know what? It shouldn't be just mom's job to change the dirty diapers. It makes me throw up. Get over yourself. People, when you disciple people, they're going to throw up on you. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're amen. When you walk with people, they're going to hurt you. I've had people that I've given my life to cut my head off. I had to go get my head and pray for supernatural healing to have it restored. Somebody asked me one time, said, Pastor, how do you do that? He's just enjoying this. I'm going to keep him. How do you do that? Because I do it as unto the Lord. And when you disciple, there's going to be difficulties, but you keep your eyes on the purpose of the kingdom and the presence of God, and you keep gathering those around you that need you. You ought to just, for 1 minute, touch this baby right here. I'm going to make a great grandpa. I don't even know what I was saying. Anyway, discipleship is messy. It's messy. But let me tell you something. Discipleship will heal the brokenness in you.
Come on.
Discipleship will teach you more about Jesus than trying to figure it out on your own. So if you're here today and you're struggling, I want you to go find somebody to disciple. I can't go disciple nobody just in my present condition. No, you need to go disciple somebody in your present condition. Because the enemy's got you isolated and feel like you're all alone and nobody knows and nobody cares. Nobody. Sorry. But the truth is, the discipleship makes you healthy.
Yes.
It gives you purpose. It's good for your soul. God brings community. What time is it? Ain't my fault they sang a long time today. The church grows and it stretches us when we realize our need of small group. It allows us to minister to others' needs. And community that is not spirit-led is a counterfeit. In other words, it works, but it's not real. It doesn't transform lives. You know how you know a counterfeit? You don't know a counterfeit by staring to find something wrong. You know a counterfeit because you've looked at what's right so long that when something's wrong, it stands out.
Come on, that's good.
So good.
Authenticity and being real always looks real. But you know what? You can get used to counterfeit and it becomes your reality. But it never leads you to the heart of the Father. And so when it breaks, there's no way to fix it because it's not real. But in authenticity, when something breaks, you're centered around the presence of God and He heals it quickly.
Amen.
Come on. Well, I kind of jumped ahead of myself, so I'm going to wrap up in just a minute. Heather, you can come. So oftentimes when we get in these community problems and we've not learned to minister, we've not learned to give of ourselves, what happens is the church becomes responsible for the healing in the church. And so people send everybody to the pastor or the counseling staff of the church. And I'm going to help you with something today. Guess what? Every one of you can take the things that's broken in your life that God's worked in, and you can heal others. And our testimony is the most powerful thing on the planet. The Bible says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Now look, you need to know the Bible. I'm not taking away from the word. But let me tell you something. The word without application oftentimes is misunderstood. But when you've had the word and you have application and God has done something supernatural in your life and you have your testimony to tell, it is transformational. Mm-hmm. Just this morning, someone was telling me that they were in a setting where someone had testified, in a small group setting where someone was testifying about the greatness of God and how that testimony spoke to them and changed their life.
Amen.
There's power in your testimony. There's power and God using you to speak into other people's life. And we should not depend upon the church staff to be the ones who are responsible for sharing the gospel. Can I get a better man? Each of us are called to do that. Each of us are anointed and equipped to do that. Each of us has power. And every one of you people in this room can hear from God as good as I can. I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Please don't put me up on a pedestal, because when someone puts me up on a pedestal, they're usually the one that kicks it out from underneath you. Just let me be who I am. But we're just people. But we're God's people. We're God's kids. And God can speak to every single one of you. And God can use every single one of you. So today, what I've come to do today is to commission the church for the greatness of God. And this is not a good idea, by the way, that I preach today. This is God's idea.
Amen.
He developed the New Testament church, and they were house to house, breaking bread and daily in the temple. It's his plan.
Right.
So I want to invite you to invite people to the greatest banquet on earth. You know, we get really excited if somebody's having a birthday party. I'm amazed today how birthday parties come off. I mean, used to you had cake and cake. Now, birthday parties are like going to the circus. You have a child's birthday party and blow-ups and train rides and, oh, man. Like, it's a state fair. And we should celebrate. I'm not against that. But I'm saying we get more excited about celebrating those things than bringing people to the banquet table.
Amen.
Of the greatness of God. Because you know what? In this room today are testimonies. And I could go down the row right now and pick people out in this room. There are testimonies that are sitting here today that just a few months ago or a year ago, your life was a mess. But God has changed your life.
Amen.
Invite people to the banquet.
Yeah.
Say, hey, come and eat this. Let's come celebrate. Come look what God has done.
Amen.
Look at the experience of God, what God has done in my life. He can do this in your life.
Yes.
We find a little diet pill, and they want the whole world know about a little diet pill that usually is out of, by the time everybody knows, nobody's using it anymore. We get excited about all of these little things in life, but there's only one thing that matters.
Yeah.
And we ought to be the most excited people on the planet Earth for these things. So I'm calling you today. Come, get out of your little, oh, I'm just going through life and life is bad and I got this crisis and I got that crisis. Man, life is exciting. He's blessing and he's pouring out his love every day. Come join the fun, the festivity of the goodness of God.
Amen.
You know why the world turns to drinking and drugging and sex and all kinds of things? Because they hadn't met Jesus.
Right.
And they're trying to fill this big old empty void in their life. This big old hole in their life. You know, a lot of those people have been to church all their life. But they still got a big old hole in their life because they never met Jesus. Bring them to the table. Introduce them to the goodness of God. Tell your testimony how God's changed your life. Give them hope. Speak into their life. And God will reward you with his goodness. Let's stand this morning.